The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. Halloween is just around the corner, so visit bubblegenius.com and pick up their Bath-O-Lantern Pumpkin Shea Butter Soap. So good, you'll want to eat it. Their jack-o'-lantern soap is colored and scented with real pumpkin, with the added punch of clove essential oil to make it pumpkin pie-y. Shea butter makes it extra luxurious, only $6 at bubblegenius.com. But if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at bubblegenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Zeska and Chez Pazienza.
Wayne?
Shelly.
I'm sorry I started.
You must see.
Too late.
Well, not too late, I hope.
A minute or two. Were you tied up with anything?
No, sorry, I'm just late.
Try ordering you the porterhouse.
Oh, no, I don't eat meat. I'll just have the penne.
You should. You should really try the steak. Ask
no, thank
Hugo
you.
To burn
no,
it on
no,
the
no.
outside.
Thanks, that's all right. I really don't eat meat. I'll just go ahead with the penne.
Spicy?
Yes, please. Good, thanks.
Let the big talk begin.
Have you seen this?
My file on you, Senator.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get it? Have you read it?
What do you have to say for yourself?
With all due respect, Madam Senator, it doesn't matter what I have to say for myself.
Oh, it doesn't? Well, it seems to me, Mr. Chairman, that all you can claim about me... claim is that I had sex while...
Deviant sex.
Oh, who? Deviant? Who says it was deviant?
I do. And what I say, the American people will believe. And you know why? Because I'll have a very big microphone in front of me.
This is the What's Happening Sound. Radio, that's where it is. Community activities. Charming people shoot the breeze. Get your spirits off the ground. Radio,
radio,
the What's Happening Sound.
I will be so good at the military, your head will spin.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Thursday, September 10th, 2015, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I am Bob Zeska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
Hey there.
Hi. We are brought to you every show by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best goddamn soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen, the best lawyer in the goddamn world. By the way, get free legal advice at thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez. Or just click the link on the podcast page. So how you doing, Chez?
Oh, I'm fine. Why do you ask?
I just thought... I never asked that at the top of the show. I thought, you know what? Today I'll be courteous to Chez.
I'm stretching right now. Pardon me. We should totally have like a, you know, like, how are you doing? Talk to me about your feelings, Bob.
How you doing, man? Feeling good?
Yeah,
good. Okay, by the way, we are so damn close to the halfway mark at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. It's our Patreon drive to support the show. All you got to do is go to patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or you go to bobseska.com and click the Patreon link. It's just below the logo. And you can help support the show by, you know, just a small, small payment every month. We are like $400 away from the halfway mark to our goal. Now, if we get to our full goal, which is $7,500, we're going to start doing new free shows 5 days a week. That's Monday through Friday, brand new free shows, free of charge to you. You don't have to sign up on Patreon to actually get the shows. We'll just give them to you. But if you want to support the show, let's put it this way. If everyone listening to the show right now just pledged $1 a month, we would far exceed our goal. Plus, once we get to that goal, we're going to add a new goal on top of that. And so that'll mean we might bring in some video features and some all kinds of new fun stuff, all kinds of new crap. Well, it'll just have the patina of crap. It won't be all crap. It'll just kind of be crap. All right. So did you watch Stephen Colbert on the first Late Show?
I watched some of it. I watched clips of it.
So you didn't see it sort of from beginning to end?
No, I didn't see it from beginning to end.
It was...
I watched television.
You know, there was a lot of positive reviews the next morning. And I was kind of... I didn't quite get the positive reviews.
No, what I mean, I liked the crowd's response to him, and I liked what he was trying to do.
Yes.
I had a lot of respect for what he was going for. I thought he stumbled a little bit from what I saw, but it didn't, I mean, by no means was it bad. By no means was it, oh, you know what, this is just, wow, what a letdown. No, you know what, I mean, I thought it worked overall.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was bad. I just thought it was different. It was odd and in some cases uncomfortable to watch because I felt like it wasn't, and I was really expecting Stephen Colbert. I mean, not the character Stephen Colbert, but I was expecting that sort of, that kind of wicked edge that Stephen Colbert generally has. And it was like right from the start, he was just so happy. And it's not that I want Stephen Colbert to be sullen and angry and always kind of sarcastic, but it was weird to just see him so happy to be there. Or at least that's how he was projecting himself. And then you could tell he was nervous. And like right out of the shoot, like the Trump thing was good with the Oreo cookies. That was really funny and clever. And I expected that to go well because it was something that he would have done on his old show. But then when it came down to the Clooney interview wasn't so much an interview as it was a scripted bit, which was strange. Like, right. I didn't expect there to be like, it was very obvious that they were going based upon some sort of pre-planned agenda for that segment. And then the Jeb Bush thing was interesting. I thought it was actually fascinating. And there were clips floating around the next day that I didn't recall actually seeing on the show. And then I read today that the taping of the show ran for over 2 hours, and they had to trim down. They had to trim all that stuff out. They in fact got an extra 6 minutes to go long, but they had to trim out everything else. And then what happened was when they went to actually edit the show, their computers kept crashing. And so it was like literally 10 minutes before airtime, and they hadn't posted the file yet for the show,
right,
for all the affiliates to run. So you want to talk about a pressure cooker situation. Not only was it, I think, you know, it was, I'm sure he was nervous. It's the first show. It's not going to be firing on all cylinders. There are going to be problems, but it seemed odd to me.
I wasn't expecting all that much, which is not to say that I don't like Stephen Colbert. I like him a lot. I just wasn't expecting it. I didn't think that sparks were going to fly out of my ass as soon as I watched this. I didn't think that it was good, that he was going to reinvent the wheel, that he was going to do anything all that different. He is a really great broadcaster, and I thought that for the most part, yeah, maybe a little nervous here and there, but honestly, he was pretty well in command of things, and he had a very positive response from the audience. And so, yeah, you know what? Overall, I thought it was a good show. I think you and I differ in that you are really expecting him to just knock it out of the park and bring something, if not different to late night, then just something really dominating. Yeah. And I think in some ways he is. In certain ways, because there's nobody quite like him in terms of being a broadcaster, in terms of being an interviewer, in terms of being, you know, witty, I think that he really does in some ways stand a little bit above everybody else. But I don't think, like I said, he's not reinventing the wheel here. You know, it's still a late night talk show. And I think because of that, I'm sort of the opinion that what you get now is you get three different people who are, you know, not counting Conan, you get three different people on broadcast television who bring you, who fit a certain segment of your personality depending on how you think.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wasn't expecting him necessarily to like rework the entire format of a late night talk show. I mean, I was expecting the conventions of a late night talk show, the opening song and then the monologue and then a desk bit.
And I was actually, believe it or not, maybe I was expecting it because that kind of bugged me. When I watched the monologue, I thought it was good and I think he's terrific. And I really enjoy his ability to be playful in a way that is still very, very smart.
Yes.
I really appreciate that about him. But watching sort of the opening monologue and the entire opening of the show, although I really liked the tape thing at the beginning that ended with Jon Stewart, that was clever.
Right, right.
But watching sort of the opening monologue and watching the band, and no matter how good a band is, no matter how interesting a band leader, Jesus Christ, even the Roots, pardon me, I suck. Yeah, I was thinking of a bar that I went to recently in L.A., swear to fucking God, called The Woods on La Brea. So anyway, even The Roots...
Let's just start today's show all over again. Start from the top.
Yes. Even The Roots cannot save Jimmy Fallon from being just horrific.
Right.
So watching this, I'm sort of like, oh, well, you know, okay, so he's got an interesting band, and he's got... he does an opening monologue, and it all kind of seems like what I'm used to.
Yeah, I know. I saw that, too. I guess...
And it's a bit of a shame. I admit that. You know, it's a bit of a shame because the Colbert Report was so interesting.
The thing with Colbert is he's weird. You know, Jimmy Fallon's gregarious. You know, Jimmy Kimmel is kind of sarcastic.
Yeah.
Colbert is effing weird.
He's weird and he's smart.
Yes.
He's very smart about his weirdness, which is, I think, what makes him terrific.
And I was expecting a little bit more of that. And when I saw him in the monologue, it was too sparkly, and I was expecting just something a little, not low key, but I was expecting just that darker side a little bit more, and I wasn't getting it. So it was just.
Well,
kind
he's
of,
now on broadcast TV, and he's
that's,
now
I know that
the,
yeah
the custodian of a huge name.
Yeah, and that's got to be the tremendous pressure of doing that job, and certainly he's a performer, and he's expected to work through that pressure. But at the same time, I mean, can you imagine being this? I mean, he's basically the flagship of CBS in a way, and they spent millions of dollars promoting the show, and he even admitted that. So he felt an obligation to the network to knock it out of the park, and I think that ended up compounding and making him a little bit off his game. But then again, it was his first show. The second show, the Wednesday night show, I watched a couple segments of that. And it was like the old Colbert was back. And so he did a desk bit about all of the presidential candidates and their merchandise, which was effing great. I mean, it was just like it was like torn from the old show, but without the edge of that character, which is fine. And I wasn't expecting him to come out and be the character Stephen Colbert.
I think that's another thing is that I think that he's going to hit his stride at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Probably very soon. And it's probably already happening. He's going to hit his stride of still being the character without being the character.
Exactly.
So he's just as sharp as that character was without actually, you know, being in character.
That's exactly right. He can do the same kind of comedy, but without shoving it through the prism of the conservative pundit Stephen Colbert. And that's what that desk bit was last night with the merchandise. It was just, I mean, when he referred to Bobby Jindal as Mystical Woodland Jindal, I thought that was hilarious. That was like the old Colbert, because that's exactly the kind of joke. Yeah, mystical Woodland Jindal. So goddamn funny. And so that's all I was expecting. And I was expecting a little bit more of that from the premiere. But, you know, again, he's going to be doing 200 of these a year, which is the standard for late night talk shows. So, you know, judging an entire show based on one episode, I think, is unfair, though it was I think it was worthy of reviewing because, well, frankly, it's Stephen Colbert, probably the last best hope minus Jimmy Kimmel for anything positive happening in late night. Okay, so moving along here, there's this advancing, and I really like this analogy, the sort of the advance of Christian Sharia law in the United States, where there are certain people, Mike Huckabee, Ted Cruz, all the usual suspects, who are really looking to implement, like, or basically reject secular law for God's law.
In favor of God's law, because God's law comes first, and in their eyes, our laws, the laws of man, are based on God's laws.
So
we're a Christian country.
You posted something on the Daily Banter about Shep Smith's latest monologue, and this is really, really worth playing here on the show. We're going to play Shep Smith talking. This is crazy because it's Fox News Channel, but once again, Shep Smith bringing the reality to the proceedings. Here's Shepard Smith the other day on Fox News Channel.
She was a broken lady.
Well, they've set this up as a religious play again. This is the same crowd that says we don't want Sharia law. Don't let them come in here and start telling us what to do. Keep their religion out of our lives and out of our government. Well, here we go again. When this started, this lawyer said he needed an accommodation for a woman who wanted one. She said she didn't want her name on a license for gay people. They couldn't come up with an accommodation. Now they've come up with one. They've let her out of jail, said, all right, you don't have to have your name on there. We just put the name of the county on there. All this is done. But it's not what they want. You're hearing now what they want. This is what they want. And this is what they're going to get. They're going to get a stirred up argument and a couple of a news cycle, and they're going to be able to make these claims. And the truth is, when you get right down to the fundamentals of this, the Supreme Court of the United States says that you can't have things being okay for one group of people and not okay for another group of people. This is not unprecedented. They did it when they said that black and white people couldn't marry. And they said, oh, wait, I guess you can. And now they've said straight people and gay people can also all get married. You want to get married? Go right at it. The government's not going to get in the way of you any more than they did in the way of straight people back in the day. But their haters are going to hate. And, you know, we thought that what this woman wanted was an accommodation, which they've now granted her, something that worked for everybody. But it's not what they want. This is what they want. So when Mike Huckabee comes up there, we'll hear his side of all of this, which will be similar to this side, right after a quick commercial break on Fox.
Yeah, I know what they want. They don't want the accommodation at all. They want the culture war. They want to roll back what's already happened.
Yeah. And of course they do.
It's not going to happen. And so it's just, it's a matter.
They're fighting and clinging to a way of life that they're losing.
Exactly.
That they're seeing slip away.
And then Mike Huckabee is in it, obviously, because he's running for president, and this is what he does. So it has really very little to do with the culture war for him.
His latest?
the latest from Huckabee about Dred Scott?
About Dred Scott.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're going to take
Dred Scott decision remains to this day the law of the land.
We're going to talk about that in a quick second right after a break, back after this.
Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon page? It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content like our post-mortem shows, memberships to the After Party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll bring you new shows every weekday. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Oh, yeah. Go to patreon.com/Bob and Chez and help support the show. Thank you.
Do I stress you out?
All right. So, yeah. So, Mike Huckabee, God, you know, when I read this Huckabee thing, I was just on the heels of writing about Sarah Palin's latest speech for the Banter magazine.
Did you see that speech, that one quote that's being floated around everywhere?
About,
which is sincerely the most insane thing I've ever heard come out of her mouth, and that's really saying something.
Which
biggest word salad I've ever heard.
The one about the unicorns?
God, I can't even remember. I can't remember what it is. Somebody posted it.
Yeah.
I think I read it this morning, and it's like a paragraph.
Yeah.
And it's the most insane thing I've ever heard. It makes zero sense. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, it goes, only in an Orwellian Obama world full of sprinkly fairy dust blown from atop his unicorn as he's peeking through a really pretty pink kaleidoscope would he ever see victory or safety for America or Israel in this treaty. That's one long sentence.
No, that's not, but that's not the one.
That's not the one.
There's something, I swear there's something else.
Okay.
God, I almost need to find it.
All right, let's get into that, and we'll come back to Huckabee in a second. This is how Sarah Palin was speaking at the Tea Party Patriots rally yesterday in opposition to the Iran deal, and she got literally everything wrong in this speech. I mean, nothing she said anywhere near resembled the truth. I want to kind of blame heat stroke a little bit, augmenting her natural stupid, because here's how she started her speech yesterday.
Thank you!
Woo.
Man, I never thought I'd say it, but I think you all are a lot tougher than Alaskans, being able to be out here. I'm roasting. I'm melting.
She's roasting. She's melting. So evidently it was pretty hot in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday. So she was roasting and a-melting. Here's Sarah Palin talking about... Now, this is one of the main things she got wrong. This is Sarah Palin talking about Iran.
We're negotiating with the braggadocious number one state sponsor of terrorism.
Yeah.
The what?
The braggadocious number one state sponsor of terrorism.
What the f*** is braggadocious?
I don't know. I don't even know why that's even appropriate to that sentence. The braggadocious, like, I guess she's saying that Iran brags over the fact that they're a state sponsor of terrorism. The fact of the matter is, though, and I go back to this several times in my Banter magazine piece, is that Iran is helping us fight ISIS, the number one terrorist threat in the Middle East right now. She doesn't understand that Iran is Shia and that ISIS is Sunni, and they effing hate each other. And therefore, Iran is helping us fight ISIS. So on one hand, she's going off about Obama being weak against ISIS, and then she's going off about Obama in cahoots with Iran, not even realizing or allowing her fanboys to realize that they're helping us fight ISIS. Just colossally dumb. Here's where she referred to the Black Lives Matter people as dogs.
Oh, and you know, since our president won't say it, since he still hasn't called off the dogs, we'll say it. Police officers and first responders all across this great land, we got your back. We salute you.
No, you know what? The Republican Party, they don't do so well when it comes to getting the backs of police officers and first responders. There was legislation back several years ago. It was called the James Zadroga 9/11 Health and Compensation Act of 2009, sponsored by Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney of New York. It would have provided medical monitoring to everyone exposed to toxins at Ground Zero. It would have bolstered treatment at specialized centers for those afflicted by toxins on September 11th. By the way, the anniversary is tomorrow, so this is especially appropriate. And reopen a compensation fund to provide for economic loss of the victims. Okay? First of all, the House Republican leadership asked its members to vote against the bill. It was a bipartisan bill. So the House Republican Congress voted against this health insurance for 9/11 heroes. And then it went to the Senate. Senate Republicans filibustered the law. Filibustered health care for 9/11 heroes. That's the Republican Party. That's what the Republican Party is really interested in when it comes to first responders, police officers. Did you find that quote yet?
Why doesn't she just go the f*** away?
Yeah, I know.
But she's not going to, because things aren't getting better. They're getting worse. Now we have her and Trump and Mike Huckabee, who thinks that Dred Scott still applies.
Yeah. I don't know if that makes any difference.
By the way, that last clip you played, I just kept waiting for her to say, "You are the ones who are the ball lickers."
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
So it's up, she says, so it's up to us to tell the enemy. We win, you lose. Just like Ronald Reagan would have told them. That's what she said.
You got to make sure you exalt the name of St. Reagan.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane that, I mean, she said that she went this way a couple of times. Like, we shouldn't be negotiating with Iran, even though knowing full well that Reagan negotiated with Soviet Russia when they had thousands of nuclear warheads aimed at every American city. That was fine. But negotiating with Iran, by the way, she said nuclear during the speech.
Of course she did.
Reduce their nuclear arsenal or their capability to make nuclear weapons, which if you actually pronounce it nuclear, then you can no longer talk about anything that has to do with nuclear weapons or nuclear energy, or you can't, you know what? You can't even talk about atomic wedgies. That's off the table too, because you cannot pronounce a simple word. You say nuclear. God damn it. What the hell's wrong with you? I still strongly believe it was the heat stroke.
I'm roasting. I'm melting.
Okay, so let's get back to Huckabee here.
Here we go.
You got it. You found it.
All right. I found it. So up there in Alaska, across the way Russia, You know there is a name for this taking advantage of America. There is a Russian name for that, and it is called Fortushka, and that means Obama's window of opportunity. So as Obama leads from behind, the skirt of his right-hand man, Valerie Jarrett, then it's up to Congress to close that window. He may propose, you dispose Congress, you got to be in it to win it, because we want peace. With unapologetic, mighty red, white, and blue, we'll have peace.
Now, who can argue with that?
I'm roasted. I'm melting.
That's just f***ing nonsense.
It really, really is. By the way, I looked up Fortushka, whatever that Russian word is that she quoted.
Fortushka. Yeah.
Fortushka. It is a. It's just a small window. It has nothing to do with Obama or a window of opportunities. It's just a window. It's just a word for a window. But she said there's a Russian word for that. It's called
for
Fortushka.
Taking advantage of America. It's called Fortushka.
And that means Obama's window
Obama's
of opportunity.
Window of opportunity, which means nothing like that.
No. It's just a small ventilation window. It's like one of those teeny tiny windows that are up like in an attic somewhere that just vents out the hot air.
I'm roasted. I'm melting.
But for her, it's Obama's window of opportunity.
This
Jesus Christ.
Idiot.
And everybody was like, woo! Yeah! By the way, did you see some guy?
She speaks Russian.
The one black guy in the crowd charged the stage and was taken away by security.
I wonder.
I'm not sure why that actually happened. Maybe it's because he was referred to as a dog.
That could be
by
it.
Sarah Palin.
I'm roasted. I'm melting.
Anyway, so yeah. So at the same time, the same day, it was a weird, crazy day. Louis Gohmert threatened to leave Congress if the Iran deal goes through. So,
thank God.
Yeah, let's dare dream that Louis Gohmert would actually not run again for Congress. That'd be great.
This is half of our government.
Yeah, totally.
These idiots. These fucking talking monkeys.
These idiots are the ones who believe, I think, by a margin of 69 to whatever it is, 31. 69% of Republicans think Obama's a Muslim.
Yeah, Obama's a Muslim, and there's nothing at all wrong with the earth. We're all going to be just fine, which is going to kill every one of us.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Right.
It's going to create more refugees than you can possibly imagine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it started.
Sink a bunch of American cities, ultimately.
It's already begun.
We're in no position anymore to be able to listen to this stupidity.
No, I mean,
we do not have the luxury anymore of doing this.
I mean, there's going to be a crapload of tragedy over the next 100 years in terms of climate-precipitated tragedy, specifically. And then, but it's just going to be a lot of, well, don't pay any attention to that because it's inevitable. There's nothing we can do about it. Let's all focus on. And we're just as guilty as anybody. Let's focus on Sarah Palin and Donald Trump.
I'm roasted. I'm melting.
Well, everything just goes to hell. And again, you know, I said this a million times. Planet's going to be just fine. Planet will recover. Human beings, maybe not. You know, we're screwing ourselves. And there's half of the American voting public thinks that that process isn't really happening. And some of them think that if they do think it's happening, they don't believe that it's caused by human beings. Why? Because Al Gore is fat and he flies in an airplane. That's evidently why. All right, we're going to take another break, back with more show right after this. Hello, Bob here to talk about Tweaked Audio. Listener Karen R. wrote to us this week about Tweaked Audio's earbuds, and here's what she had to say. Thanks for the Tweaked Audio link. Had trouble finding decent but not too expensive pods for chores and biking, so tried these. Happy! Exclamation mark. Go now to our website and click the banner for Tweaked Audio for the best in earbuds and earphones. They come with a lifetime warranty and free shipping to anywhere in the world. And Tweaked Audio's earbuds and earphones will work with all of your devices. Available in mic'd or unmic'd versions, they're designed to reduce outside noise and they're perfect for both music and talk. Hear us and everything better with Tweaked Audio earbuds. And if you use the promo code BANDC, that's BANDC at checkout, you'll save 30% off the listed price. Nearly one-third off on comfortable quality earbuds warranted for life with free shipping anywhere. Again, use the code BANDC to save big on quality earbuds. Just click the banner for Tweaked Audio at BobSeska.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Segment 2 of the Bob and Chez Show is brought to you by the BobSuska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link just below the logo at BobSuska.com, and we'll get a small commission from everything you buy, costs you nothing, and help support the show. Thank you for doing that. All right, so Mike Huckabee believes for some reason that the Dred Scott decision is the law of the land. The Dred Scott decision, which basically, you know, confirmed that black people are property and that escaped slaves should be returned to their masters because the masters own them. That was the 1857 Dred Scott decision that Mike Huckabee, for some reason, still believes the law of the land.
And he actually had the nerve to get pissy with, of all people, Michael Medved for correcting
right.
him.
Yeah.
Medved corrected him and said, no, actually, it was the, you know, it was the 13th and 14th Amendments, 13th Amendment for slavery, 14th Amendment actually corrected Dred Scott.
Yeah. During an interview.
Michael, how can you say that? That's what they say. How dare you?
It's ridiculous because it's fact.
Jesus hates you.
I mean, thank God there are still a few people on the right who have some connection to objective reality, to history and the facts, what's going on. Because these guys, Mike Huckabee, Ted Cruz, two of the worst offenders here, Sarah Palin's way up there too, just completely ignoring reality. I mean, in Sarah Palin's speech, you know what she did? She made a big stink over the Mount McKinley thing.
I'm roasted. I'm melting.
As predicted, even though she said in her farewell address referred to as Denali. During an interview with radio host Michael Medved that was obtained by BuzzFeed, the former Arkansas governor complained that he had been, quote, drilled by TV hosts after claiming that Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis did not have an obligation to same-sex marriage licenses because the Supreme Court's recent decision on marriage equality was not, quote-unquote, the law of the land until lawmakers codified it with legislation. Because that's their phrase. It's the law of the land, Mike Huckabee said. Michael Medved, the Dred Scott decision of 1857 still remains to this day the law of the land, which says that black people aren't fully human. Does anybody still follow the Dred Scott Supreme Court decision? Of course they don't. Medved reminded the candidate that the 13th Amendment had overturned slavery, and as BuzzFeed's Christopher Massey noted, the 14th Amendment overturned the Dred Scott decision by establishing birthright citizenship. Huckabee insisted that a constitutional amendment would not be required to overturn the same-sex marriage ruling because it was not valid in the first place. Well, and also
running for president. He's running for president, and he is a balls out lying idiot.
He really, really is. And of course, Jefferson said that long before Marbury.
He's an opportunistic Madison. Idiot.
Yeah.
More things.
More things. Right.
MOARTINGS.
Yep. Absolutely. So they just keep getting it wrong, but they don't care because as long as their people think it's true, then it's true. He continued by saying, the Supreme Court in the same-sex marriage decision made a law, and they made it up out of thin air. Therefore, until Congress decides to codify that and give it a statute, it's really not an operative law. And that's why Kim Davis did was operate under not only the Kentucky Constitution, which was the law under which she was elected, but she's operating under the fact that there's no statute in her state, nor at the federal level, that authorizes her. That is phenomenally stupid. What the decision did was to strike down a series of ballot initiatives, ballot referendums that were passed in 2004, various state laws that have been passed in the interim. It overturned all of that crap because that's what the Supreme Court does. It reviews laws, and if it finds the laws to be unconstitutional, then those laws are stricken down. I'm assuming someone tries to pass a law to replace that law, well, that's going to get struck down as well. Because it gets established, it's just, duh! Duh, why do we even...
And then you have Donald Trump, whose idea of a campaign speech to tout what he can do for America is to say, we'll have so much winning, you'll get bored with winning.
That's right. We'll have so much winning, you'll get bored with winning.
We will have so much winning if I get elected that you may get bored with winning.
Jesus.
Well, you know what? On the plus side, Charlie Sheen really needed somebody to bring that back.
Right. And
now suddenly all those douchebags out there who are still saying winning suddenly feel vindicated.
Yeah, it's like a revival of the winning hashtag. Oh, well, Trump just said it, so we're just going to bring hashtag winning. But we will have so much winning, you're going to get bored with winning.
We will have so much winning if I get elected that you may get bored with winning.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
His entire platform is, hey, look, don't worry about it. I'm going to be great. And don't sweat it. Everything's going to be fine.
That's all he's got.
You will have so much winning, you're going to get bored with winning. Or this.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
Good God.
I'm done, man.
This is
my brain doesn't work anymore.
For 1 week, the Republican frontrunner says this.
I will be so good at the military, your head will spin.
And then he says this.
We will have so much winning if I get elected that you may get bored with winning.
We will have so much winning. Is that even, that's not even proper grammar, is it?
No, well, not really.
We will have so much winning.
No,
It's you know what, it's just...
You're trying to analyze it like that's going to help.
I'm trying to get into it too much. All right, we're going to take one last break and come back with more right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
That's right. Exactly right. Thanks for joining us on our Thursday show. If you don't subscribe to the After Party, hope you have a great weekend coming up. It's going to be 3 days. It'll just be a couple of days. I think you can handle it. So, remember the Oath Keepers showed up in Ferguson to...
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
To protect the InfoWars guys, the InfoWars reporters. And
yeah, the military cosplayers have got boots on the ground.
They've got boots on the ground to protect Kim Davis from Dictator Judge. The Oath Keepers and armed this camouflage...
I don't understand. There's no... How did we get this way? There's no way that people can't look at these people, all of them, every one of them, on this side of the aisle and go, you people are all bananas.
Yeah, you're bananas. And that's what, to me, that's what the...
This is chaos. This is an absolute circus.
If there's one thing that the press is just utterly failing to do, it's that it's not emphasizing the fact that half of the country, half of the voting public and the party that represents them has gone... As you said, bananas.
Yeah, completely mad. This is fucking madness. And if the media doesn't call this out and start basically, if nothing else, just compare what the Republican Party used to be to what it is now. If it doesn't start doing that, then what's at risk is the entire country. Sincerely, I'm not joking. I am not exaggerating. The country, our future.
Right, right. One side is saying, hey, let's get an established federal minimum wage out there and let's make sure that the planet doesn't choke us to death. The other side is going,
you are the ones who are the ball lickers.
I'm
roasted. I'm melting.
I will be so good at the military, your head will spin.
I mean, in all seriousness, a good number of the people who are running for president mm-hmm. as Republicans are f***ing batshit.
Certainly.
I think that for a group of people, conservatives, Republicans, whatever, for a group of people who I know will probably take a step back and say, well, you know what? That's nonsense. That's certainly we're not all like that. Good point. I have no doubt that they're not all like that.
Yeah.
But these are the people right now who are the faces of the party. These are the people who are running the party. And in the same way that Republicans are very fond of telling Muslims, you know what, you need to speak out against the terrorists, you better stand the fuck up and tell that zoo fraternity of yours to sit the hell down.
That's right. Here's a great illustration of what's wrong with the Republican side right now. You've got the two front runners, Donald Trump, Ben Carson. Neither of them have any political experience whatsoever. Zero. I remember 2008 when Barack Obama was basically disqualified from being president, at least in the eyes of the Republicans, because he'd only served in the Senate a couple of years. And before that, he was a community organizer. That was the big Republican line in 2008. He was a community organizer. How could he be president? These guys, neither of them have served. And they're both crazy. I mean, they're both crazy in their own way. And then who's in third place? Distant third place, falling behind by the day. Jeb Bush. Now, who would have thought that in the early days of the 2016 presidential campaign that the reasonable one, the adult in the room, would be a Bush? That to me says everything you need to know about where we are with American politics right now. The adult on the Republican side is Jeb Bush. And he's losing badly because of it.
Because yeah, he is, exactly.
I mean, here's Ben Carson, who's going to give Donald Trump a run for the money in the primaries. I mean, it's going to come down to the two of them, which is effing insane. Here's Ben Carson basically saying, nobody knows everything. So why do I have to know anything?
Well, the way I kind of look at it, there are those who feel that the only people who can actually come up with solutions are people with a lot of political experience. But if you take the collective political experience of Congress, it comes out to almost 9,000 years. What has it done for us?
Oh, my God. Holy crap. What non-logic.
So he added up the collective experience of all members of Congress, and it came to 9,000 years.
Yeah.
And so that's a valid honestly, number.
A lot of the people who have been in our government for a very long time have had somewhat regular IQs. And if you add up all of those IQs, you get a very large number. So by virtue of Ben Carson's logic, what we really need is somebody with an IQ of about 2.
Isn't that kind of related
to
that?
He can't even open his mouth without drooling.
And he's not even done yet. There's more.
You know, I would much rather deal with somebody who thinks logically, who has the ability to acquire a lot of information, to use experts, you know, as a specialist in medicine. You know, I know a great deal about the brain.
Okay, now look, this is something that they try to pass off all the time. They try to pass it off with George W. Bush. It doesn't work. This whole idea, it doesn't matter if he knows nothing. He'll hire the people to tell him things. That's the most dangerous effing argument you can make in support of a candidate. You do not want a puppet as president of the United States. You do not want an empty vessel who doesn't know anything.
Yeah, because we already got that, and we saw where it led us.
God, it's insane.
Dick Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz were in charge of the country.
Yeah, exactly. Donald Rumsfeld. They all ran the show. They just puppeteered George W. Bush. I know it's this many years later, it's kind of old hat to say that, but it's absolutely true. George W. Bush was not, I mean, he wasn't mentally challenged. I mean, George W. Bush was not, I mean, he was not bright. But he wasn't a drooling idiot either. He was just incurious, and he had no interest whatsoever in any of the details. He would just delegate, and he was lazy. I mean, that's ultimately what George W. Bush's whole thing was, is that he was just a lazy son of a bitch. Had no interest in really being a hands-on president. He had no interest in learning details about things. And that's where he screwed us. He let everyone else handle the details, and it failed miserably. And by the way, I just want to be sure that I emphasize this. I was just being fair right there to George W. Bush, even though I, as someone who was effed 90 different ways by the Great Recession, I am proud to say George W. Bush can go F himself. But the fact of the matter is that is the collective amnesia that bad that we're willing to accept another delegator in chief, another president who just who's intellectually incurious, doesn't know a goddamn thing, and then just hires a bunch of advisors to tell him what to do? That's amazing. That's what President Ben Carson is going to do.
And about the central nervous system. And I obviously know a lot more than most people about the kidney. But if I had somebody...
Dear God, dude, we're doomed. We're doomed. And the Democrats now are having a giant battle over Bernie, Hillary. They're all panicking about Hillary. Mm-hmm. Bernie, Hillary, and possibly Biden.
Possibly Biden. And that's what, by the way, Biden, I stand by what I said
and,
on Tuesday.
And I wrote something for Banter where I basically talked about it, something I've been wanting to say for the past couple of weeks, where I said that the thing about Bernie Sanders and all the Sanders fans, all the Sanders fanatics, is that if Bernie Sanders ever were to become president, which, by the way, he's not going to, but if he ever were to become president, they would abandon him in a heartbeat because he would have to compromise. His mind would change on things when he realized what the responsibility of being president was, when he was faced with some of those decisions that Barack Obama has gotten so much crap for. The second that he compromised or reached a half measure, he would be accused of being a traitor and a sellout.
Yeah.
And they'd run like hell. But the more important thing about it right now, before we even get to that, because it's not going to happen, is the fact that it's not going to happen. Bernie Sanders is not going to be president. Bernie Sanders is not going to be president. Barack Obama is president, and he has been raked over the coals, called a socialist, called every name known to man. Do you really think a guy who actually identifies as a socialist is going to wind up being president when a good portion of the country is diametrically opposed to his opinion?
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. So I'm going to say it. You know what? F*** it, because I believe in political reality. Get behind Bernie. Awesome. But it's not going to work. And if you back Bernie enough, if you back the unicorn candidate, there's a good chance we may wind up with somebody like a Donald Trump or – God forbid, a Ben Carson or a Ted Cruz or whomever.
Well, that's going to be the first. That's going to be the first break where, and I think that the ratio is going to be about the same as it is with Obama in terms of people who think he's sold out versus people who continue to support him. But at the same time, I think the first break with people that are otherwise supporting Bernie Sanders and who might be absolutists about their support, I think the first break will come when Bernie Sanders would have to run potentially in the general election and have to start raising serious money, because he's not going to be he's not going to be able to run a serious general election campaign without taking corporate money. That's going to have to happen. And as soon as he starts doing that, then people go, "Ah, he's selling out." But you know what? That's a fact of life. You have to do that if you want to run a general election campaign against a Republican candidate who will take whatever money they can get. And the problem is, if he doesn't take corporate money, then that diminishes his chances for winning. I mean, there's going to be so much winning, you're going to get sick of winning.
We will have so much winning if I get elected that you may get bored with winning.
So yeah. But, I mean, getting back to the Republicans, here's another good example of what the hell's going on that side of the aisle. John Boehner said that the goal of these hearings about Planned Parenthood in Congress are to stop the sale, and he said the actual words, to stop these organizations from selling body parts. He actually said, he's actually confirming the fiction that was included in these Planned Parenthood videos about selling baby parts. He said baby parts, selling baby parts. when that is, in fact, not happening at all. There is no selling of baby parts. It's against the law. State investigations have concluded that there is no selling of baby parts. But that hasn't stopped the House Judiciary Committee from holding these hearings. And you know what the name of the hearings are? This sounds really fair. Sounds like Planned Parenthood's going to get a fair shake. Listen to the title of the hearings. Planned Parenthood Exposed, examining the horrific abortion practices at the nation's largest abortion provider. They actually managed to get abortion in there twice in the title of the hearings. Does this sound like a fair set of hearings? Does this sound like they're legitimate?
Yes, it does. Totally.
God damn. Can we please have someone who's grounded in just basic reality?
I'm roasted. I'm melting.
Okay, so that's it. We just have no idea what's going on in the room. Other than just abandoning the, you know, legitimate discourse that we normally deal with. Abandoning any grasp whatsoever to objective reality for the sake of political experience, for the sake of pandering to the bubble. That's exactly what's happening. Okay, we've got a big post-mortem show. Well, not so big. We're going to cut it a little bit short today. Because, Chez, you got to, like, dash out somewhere?
Yeah, like in 15-20 minutes or something. 15 minutes.
So if you want to sign up for the post-mortem show, go to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. At the $5 level, if you pledge $5 a month, you get the post-mortem show. And pledge at the $10 level, you get the post-mortem show and the after party. $15 level, you get the post-mortem show, you get the after party, and you get a commercial-free, not-safe-for-work version of the Tuesday and Thursday show. Hey, it's a bargain at twice the price. If you sign up at the $1 level, well, we will love you forever. Because you know what? I think our $1 pledges are the sweetest smelling pledges on our Patreon drives.
I like that.
Yeah. All right. We're going to talk about a little bit more Trump. We're going to talk about how all these rock bands are just piling on to these Republican candidates. It's just going to get to the point where the only song they're going to be able to use at these Republican rallies is like Camp Town Races.
It's going to be country. Yeah, it's country music or Nugent.
That's right. A very special bit of audio for you on the post-mortem show. I'm not going to spoil it, but it has to do with selling beef in an unlikely place. That's coming up on the post-mortem show. For the rest of you, what the hell are you waiting for? Sign up at patreon.com. And if you're already a subscriber on the after party, whether through Patreon or whether through the website, then we'll see you on Friday on the after party. Bye, folks.